Revelation chapter 3. We're back in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and we're going to start this morning in verse 7. Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 7, Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy and who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world, to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Lord and Heavenly Father, again, we just thank you for this time. I pray that you would quiet our hearts and our minds. Give me your strength to give the message on. And I just pray, Lord, you'd use the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us to understand your word today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, today we are looking at the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia was named after the founder that built it, Attalus Philadelphus II. He was the king of Pergamos, which was another city we just recently talked about. Now, the city was known for brotherly love, and some say it was because of the unusual affection that Attalus gave to his brother. He's very loyal to his brother. Now, others say that it was because of the believers in Philadelphia that showed care and compassion for those in the city. Philadelphia was an area known for earthquakes. In fact, it actually sat on a fault line that extended to Sardis and many of the other cities. Now, it was a city that was built originally to be a teaching area for the Greek culture. And it was also known for its beautiful buildings. In fact, it was considered the minor version of Athens, Greece. Now, it was located in a strategic place, right on the route of the Imperial Post, which was an early form of the Postal Service. It was a postal service coming from Rome. In fact, it was given the name the Gateway to the East because of the idea that you could send a letter through Rome out and it would go right through Philadelphia here out to the easternmost part of the Roman provinces. Now, let's go back to our text, looking at verse 7. Now, remember, Jesus describes himself in a manner that reflects why he is connecting with each church ministry. He's been doing this in every letter to the churches. Look with me at verse 7. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and no one opens." Now, Jesus first identifies himself here as one who is holy, who is absolutely perfect, pure, and without sin. Now, that means that Jesus is identifying himself as God. Notice that he is true. There are no lies within him. He is genuine. He is the original God, not one of the many false gods that these cities worshipped in this day, but the one true God. He who has the key of David, or we might say that he who has the authority to open and shut these doors of opportunity. This is God. And Jesus is saying that he is God. Now, someone who holds the keys of something is someone who has complete authority over that thing. I mean, think about it. Anytime that, if any of you have ever gone maybe to buy a new car before, you know, teenagers, one day you'll get to this, maybe. But you go to buy that car and you go through all the long headache of the financing department. But once you get done there, they won't hand you those keys up front. You're like, hey, I want the car. Give me the keys first and then I'll pay. That's not how it works. You got to give them the money first. But the last things they do is they hand you the keys to that car. And once you have those keys, now you have the authority over that car. And so it is here. Jesus is saying that he has the one authority to be able to do what he wants. Notice in your Bible, there are quotations around this phrase. It says, he who has the key of David, he opens. He who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. Now, Jesus is connecting his ability and authority to open and shut doors to something that happened in the Old Testament, an event recorded in Isaiah chapter 22. Now, Jesus connects to something familiar, okay? So every time that Jesus is talking to these churches, these are things for us all to learn from. But he tries to do something very familiar so that each one of his illustrations and analogies to these churches gets right to the point. And here he connects this, an event happened in Isaiah 22, in which we see that in Isaiah 22, the Assyrians have invaded Judah. And the Jewish leaders, instead of praying and trusting in God, they put their trust in the Egypt leaders. They put their trust in Egypt to protect the nation of Israel. Their hearts and minds were not on God, but they were on their own gain. And one of these wicked Jewish leaders named Shebna, God removed him and he replaced him with a man named Eliakim. And this man was faithful. He was dependable. And he was a man who was a good administrator of God's people. Now, God had the authority to replace this leader, just as much as Jesus had that same authority, because Jesus is God. Now, if Jesus determines something needs to be done, he will make sure that it is done, because he has the authority. Now, let's see what Jesus says about the church in Philadelphia. Look with me at verse 8. Jesus says, I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Now, just to make note here, if you see in our text, there's a semicolon after you can shut it. New thought, for you have a little strength. You having a little strength has nothing to do with opening or shutting the doors. Now, Jesus says here, when he says, I know your works, we might say, in context, we might say, I know your reputation. Now, Jesus is watching what they do. He sees and hears of those whose lives have been touched or changed in a positive way because of the ministry of this church. They have already been a light to their community, and they have not given up, even in perilous times. Now, Jesus continues, see, I have set before you an open door. Now, throughout the New Testament, an open door was a reference to an opportunity for ministry. Notice that Jesus says that this open door, no one can shut it. If Jesus opens it, it's open. Nobody can shut it. It's like the ark. When God shut the door, nobody could open it until God opened it. Now, Jesus has opened the door of ministry to this church, and these Christians want to see the lives of those in their community change for Christ, and Jesus has opened that door for them to be a light in their community. Notice that Jesus describes these believers. He gives us 3 points about them. He says, one, they have little strength. Two, they have kept the teachings of the scriptures. And three, they have not denied Christ. Now, I believe this church in Philadelphia was small, okay? It wasn't a giant church. It had little strength and little influence, but it didn't give up. It didn't give up because of its size. It didn't say, well, we're too small, therefore we can't do anything. We're too small, we can't be faithful. You know, we're too small, we can't be used for the Lord. Instead, the people remained faithful to the word of God, and they refused to deny Christ. Now, God opened a door for their ministry, and they used it to preach Christ and glorify him. They did not give up, and God continued to remain faithful to them, keeping that door open and not closing it. Look with me at verse 9. Jesus says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Jesus identifies the opposition that Christians in Philadelphia have been facing. It is from those who claim to be Jews, but were simply aligning themselves with other Jews. Now, these people hated Christians and focused on only putting themselves first because, after all, they were amongst the chosen people. Now, we all have different people in our culture today who are famous and popular, and many times you have people that want to join up with them or at least hang out around them so that they can seem popular. And during this time, you had many people who wanted to be just like the Jews because the Jews were, quote unquote, the chosen people of God. So they would align themselves with the Jews. They would go to the synagogues and they would hang out and they'd be like, I'm Jewish. I love God. Everything's good. But their nature were to hate anyone who didn't live within the confines of what the law during the day of the Jews were really focused on, those hard-pressed laws that had nothing to do with Scripture, but were so focused on doing this because 1 + 1 must equal 2. So hard-nosed to it, they decided this is what they're going to be like. And what they did is they said, you know what? We hate Christians because you guys believe in Jesus Christ and we don't. And that wasn't the true Jews. Jesus says that, listen, just because they have a Jewish heritage, those that really love God through the Jewish heritage, those who are really the chosen people, will also love others. They'll also love Christians. They won't hate them. They won't try to destroy them. Now, Jesus promises that this opposition will not last forever. There will be a day when he will make it known that these believers followed him, and they will have to acknowledge that truth. Look with me at verse 10. Jesus says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Now, in most of the other letters, we saw Jesus providing accolades for the ministry. So he would start off and he would say, you guys are doing good this way. I really appreciate something here. And then he would bring a charge against them. He'd say, these things are the good things. Here's what you need to work on, or here's what you need to change. But we don't see that here with the church in Philadelphia. Instead, Jesus is not laying out an accusation at all. In fact, he's giving accolades, and he continues to give accolades, and he's giving them encouragement. And he gives them encouragement here to keep moving in the same manner that they're moving already. Jesus says, because you have not given up, you have kept my command and have persevered through your circumstances. Because of this, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Now, the hour of trial here is a reference to the Great Tribulation period, the 7 years of God's divine judgment that will be unleashed here on the earth, which we will find out more when we reach Revelation chapter 6. Now, there are other references of hours in the Old Testament and such. They talk about the hour of trial. Each time that the Bible refers to the hour of trial, it's talking about the time right before some kind of tribulation happens. Now, we know that this is about the Great Tribulation period because this is the very first time the hour of trial is being mentioned that says over the entire earth. And we know that this is connection that Revelation is taking us through, up through the tribulation period. Now notice that Jesus also says here, he says, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. Now notice he doesn't say, I will keep you through the hour of trial. Now this is a separation. Keeping someone from something is to keep them separated from it. And this is another indicator that Jesus' return for his church will happen before God's wrath comes in the Great Tribulation period. Now, Jesus is promising that because these believers have persevered in the Christian faith and have remained faithful to the Lord, that the Lord will remain faithful to them. Look with me at verse 11. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. Now Jesus says, I am returning, and it will be soon. Notice that he reminds another group of believers here to hold fast, or to do what you know to be right. Now remember the things that you have learned from Scripture and hold to those things, not the popular things of the world, but the things from Scripture, the things that you know to be right. Do what you know to be right and stick to those things so that no one can rob you of your reward. Now, remember the rewards. We just talked about this back last year in November. If you missed that message, go back to November 21st. You're going to want to go back and listen to that. It talks about the different crowns and rewards that we receive in heaven. A very important message as we move forward here in Revelation. But for those who finished their race, for those who persevered, who held fast, who didn't give up, they received what was known as the victor's crown. And essentially, we talk about that every year as we're talking about our faith race memorization challenge. We're all running the race of life. We're all running our spiritual race. And when we get to the end, we're either going to be one that's, we get to the end and we're going to be rewarded with that victor's crown. And Jesus is going to say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or when we get to the end, it's just the end. And we aren't rewarded the same way, and we may be Christians, we maybe get to heaven, but we just didn't run our race. In other words, we walked our race kind of slouching and hoping to finally get to the end instead of persevering as these Christians did, instead of being faithful to what God has given us and running with all of our might. Jesus is saying, look, your door is open. I open this door for a reason. I want you to run through that door. Many times, even as Christians today, we look at those doors and we're like, I don't know, man, it's something new, you know? I mean, doors are opportunities that God is opening up for us, but, you know, you ever see people who don't like anything new? They tend to sit there with their arms crossed and they're just like, nah, I don't want to do it. You know, throughout Scripture, it's interesting because Jesus talks to us about how we need to be learning and growing, and every time we grow, it's something new. Jesus gives us these opportunities so that we can hold fast, so that we can persevere through our obstacles. And whatever they may be, we're going to be rewarded, but we can't give up. We will get those rewards in heaven, but we have to persevere. Again, look with me at verse 12. Jesus finishes and addresses those who overcome. He says here, he who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. And I will write on him my new name. So Jesus says here that he who overcomes, or again, he who is an authentic Christian, someone who really has the Holy Spirit living within them and is not just pretending or latching on to the ideals or philosophies of the Christian, like we saw those who are latching on to the ideals or philosophies of those in the Jewish culture. But those who are genuine Christians, Jesus is going to make that person a pillar in the temple of God the Father. In other words, they will enjoy a place of safety, a place of security, a place that will never see damage or destruction, a place of joy and of peace. Now, if you think about it, for a city that sits on a major fault line that's always getting shook and getting destroyed and having different problems with it, the idea of having a place of safety and security that will never be shook is pretty wonderful. I mean, that's a tremendous blessing. And Jesus is saying, look, you don't have to worry about it. You're going to be in a place where you don't have to worry at all about any fear or being shaken or anything falling apart. And for them, it would provided an unforgettable image. Now, in Bible times, many cultures would erect a pillar out in the square, and they would have the name of someone on that pillar. Many times it was a stone pillar. Sometimes it was, like a big log for wood or whatever. Nowadays, we look at these things, and throughout our years of culture moving forward, people have built statues. Nowadays, we might put a plaque on the wall with someone's name engraved in it. You know, not so much as a pillar, but I think, you know, trying to get marble pillar together is going to be really expensive nowadays. So we might put a plaque on the wall. But if you've ever heard that phrase, pillar in the community, this is where it came from. These cultures who said, well, we're going to address someone that we want to mimic, someone that we look at and we look up to, someone who has a good reputation. We want to make it known to everyone who this person is. And here Jesus is saying, look, for those who are faithful, those who persevere, you will have, in essence, this pillar here in God the Father's own sanctuary when we get to heaven. The authentic Christian will be that pillar. Now, Jesus will also write on the authentic Christian three names: the name of God the Father, the name of the city of God, the New Jerusalem, and Jesus's new name. Now, if you wonder how Christians will be identified, we've talked a little bit about in the past how they'll receive that stone with a new name on it for themselves, but they're also going to have these three names written on them. And this is definitely one of the ways, and we'll have three names written on us for all those of us who are authentic Christians. So be forever identified to be in the family of God. Now, like the Philadelphians, we live in a state that experiences earthquakes. Now, thankfully, in the area that we're in, not as much. There's maybe some other areas that have it much more. But beyond that, we live in a world that is filled with chaos and destruction, of wars and rumors of wars, of poverty and starvation. And yet Jesus promises those who do not give up, who persevere, who are authentic Christians, they will have a place for all of eternity that will be unshakable, that will be peaceful, a place that will we can safely rest without any worry. And what a wonderful promise that is. Now Jesus finishes here in verse 13. He says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Now again, Jesus reminds believers, he says, listen up, listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to his guidance and his direction. Well, today I want to consider the believers in Philadelphia and how they compare to our current ministry today. Now, if you're visiting us this morning, this is Celebration Sunday, the one day of the year that we come together and we celebrate specifically all the things that God has done in our ministry this year, especially, but also in the last many years, and how God has blessed. God has prepared the ministry of CBC for how he wants to use it. Only he has the authority to determine whether or not this ministry should go on and how it should be used. For over 75 years, God has continued to be faithful to Campbell Baptist Church. Now, God has kept the doors open and allowed this ministry to be a light to our community. In the last 15 years, God has kept his hand of provision of this ministry, allowing it to continue to be a light. In the last 4 years of this ministry, God has been moving this ministry forward, making changes. Again, those doors are opening. Change is happening, and God has been giving this ministry a renewed purpose. God has been changing our focus from what has always been done to what needs to be done, and allowing us to see that God not only takes care of his own, but he brings added blessings to the work of his ministry so that it can flourish. God has continued to direct our work, and he has continued to provide even when others suggested that we might close our doors or change his design for something more culturally relevant. We have remained faithful to him, and he has provided for us. Now, it does not matter how many people exist in a church as long as it remains faithful. If God wants to keep the doors of that church open, he will. And it is only through him that we can see the blessings and his provisions continue so that his ministry can continue its work. Now, even when we have faced major obstacles, God has continued to bless and provide. Now, this property has been an obstacle, okay? I will tell you, nothing has been easy. Every time we fix something minor, it's not something minor. It's something big. It just doesn't make sense. But God has continued to bless and provide. The plans for this year were to finish up from last year just a few smaller things. And then came the obstacles. If you think back on this year, near the beginning, our furnace died here in the sanctuary. Now, to be fair, it was installed in 1941, and every contractor that came out was amazed that it lasted as long as it did. Now, we knew that this was going to take something to be able to take care of it. We knew it was going to be fairly expensive, and that was going to be an obstacle that we would need to take before the Lord. But we could handle it. It was only one obstacle. And then in April, the pipes leaked on the other side of the church, taking out several rooms, damaging our new carpet, the drywall, forcing us to change lighting, replacing all the pipes on the property, gut our kitchen. All of these unexpected obstacles seemed discouraging, especially as it was a reminder of our very old building and the problems that we have had to face in the past. And we could have used this as an opportunity to give up. But instead, we took it to God, and he provided. Now, he provided the finances from our insurance, and he also provided by others outside of our ministry, giving a blessing to help take care of some of these needs. And these things moved on to other projects that God provided for and allowed us to take care of some things that were in need of repair or replacement. And as we continue to finish these projects, we know that God will remain faithful to help us accomplish his goals for his ministry. Now, just as the Lord remained faithful to the church in Philadelphia, so he has remained faithful to the ministry here. He has kept the door open for us to continue to minister to the city of Campbell and even further. We may be small in strength, but that doesn't stop us from being used. We may be small in number, but we can still teach others the truth. We can still disciple and mentor others what Jesus has taught us. As long as we stay faithful to the teachings of the Scripture and we do not deny Christ, God will bless us and allow our door of ministry to stay open. We have our preaching ministry, which has been able to be expanded through our digital ministry. We have teen Bible study and ladies Bible study and men's Bible study and truth seekers and our night of prayer. We have our one-on-one discipleship series, which is getting an update this year because we want to be able to disciple those in our ministry physically and digitally. We have our Faith Race Memorization Challenge, which received an upgrade this year through the new church app. It's no longer just pages on a wall. Now it's digital, and we have it with us everywhere we go. It also has its own dedicated webpage that we've been able to send to other Christians and ministries to use as an encouragement. We also have our updated church website that has been a tremendous blessing at the ease of taking care of it, as well as the simple ways that we are able to connect with others and help them understand what we are all about. Now, just because a church may be small does not limit God's use of that ministry. God's hand is just as strong on a large ministry as it is on a small. Sometimes small churches remain small, yet that does not mean that they remain unused or useless. God's purpose for that church is to be a light to the community and to help the spiritual lives of others to grow. And as long as we are remaining faithful to God's purpose for our church, God is going to use us in the lives of others for His glory. Now, the purpose of our church is to glorify God and to continue following His leading in His ministry. And as long as we keep to what is most important in God's eyes, He will provide and care for us. Now, God has opened the door for us to have a discipleship-focused ministry. He has brought specific people into our lives through our church to be discipled and mentored. And then God has moved them to new areas of ministry. I think of America Gonzalez, who reached out to us originally. She came with her children and she was interested in just knowing God more. We prayed with her for her unsaved husband and we discipled her. She got involved in Night of Prayer and Ladies Bible Study and Operation Christmas Child and even came out for the church work days. Now, God moved her and her family to Elk Grove, okay? Thankfully, it's to out to a church where, as a good friend of mine is a pastor, and they moved out to that church. It was quite a blessing. Now, I can tell you that when they moved, it was a little discouraging because they had kids, and we were like, kids, we're going to be able to refresh the children's ministry. And, oh, she loves to work with numbers. So she, you know, we were like, oh, we're already thinking in our mind of all the different ways because she had so many different spiritual gifts. But it's interesting to see how God's plan worked in her life, because during that time, her husband wasn't coming to church. But when God moved them out to Elk Grove, he started to attend that church out there, and he got saved. And the whole family was baptized together, and now they are a thriving, growing family. And America comes back to her, and she's like, I'm so thankful I was discipled. And now she takes that information that we discipled with her, and she's teaching it and discipling her children. I think of Jaleesa, who came for our first family night Bible study and kept coming back through the encouragement of Jerry and Marianne. Jelly learned so much, she became involved in almost every part of our ministry, and she was discipled and she was mentored, and now she's on a mission field of her own in the Rockland area. And I think of Rianne, who was looking for a church that would simply teach her the truth of God's word. She asked a lot of questions to begin with, but we simply listened and just took her through what the Bible had to say, and she learned so much. And we took her through our one-on-one discipleship program. She learned the foundations of what Christian doctrine is all about. It's helped her now, and she has a better understanding even of God's word and how to give people the gospel. And now she's moved on to the Sacramento area. She's just recently been married. She's going to be living out there with her husband, Jason, and taking on a new ministry. Now, we don't know how long we have with each person that comes through our ministry. It means we have to be faithful to take every opportunity of people who come through. We might have just a visitor that comes 1 week. Sometimes we have visitors that come for a few months at a time. If you remember, when Tracy and I came, we visited for 3 months and then we left. But then God brought us back, and obviously we're still here. But we never know how much of an opportunity that we will have to be an encouragement and to help others. But thankfully, God uses us to help get His ministry out to the world. And I'll tell you what, of all the states I would say right now that needs God's word, I would say California is up there as one of the top five, okay? So California needs to learn more about Christ and know who He is genuinely. If God's going to use our church just to disciple these people and send them back out so that there's light in other dark areas, I'm absolutely fine with that. I would love to be a part of whatever God's opportunities are. Whatever His design is for our church, I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. We may not look like the average large church, and that's okay. We're going to look like whatever God wants us to look like because it's His ministry, and He's going to do with us what He wants. Now, Jesus reminds us to train people. In Matthew 28:19-20, He tells us that we should be mentoring and discipling those who come through our path in his ministry. And one-on-one discipleship is the key in helping us understand the core doctrines of the Christian faith. It also helps us to build relationships with others and learn better ways that we can encourage and pray for each other. Now, God has opened the door for CBC to be a blessing in the lives of many people and to be an encouragement to those who are regular attenders as well as those who are outside of our ministry. And we have seen many visitors come through anywhere, again, between 1 week to several months at a time, but our point is to encourage them. Just as the church in Philadelphia faced opposition, so we have faced opposition here in our city. There have been those who have pushed back and attempted to squelch our voice and attempted to prevent us from meeting, and yet we have remained faithful. And when we are faced with persecution and opposition, these are typically reminders that we are right where we need to be. Paul and his ministry saw both obstacles and opportunities. And we can look at these obstacles and let them shut us down, or we can persevere, knowing that the trusting of our faith may be difficult, but it comes with the benefit of spiritual growth and the reward of seeing God use us and bless our ministry and allow us to see him work in amazing ways in our lives and in the lives of others. Teacher and author Warren Wiersbe once said, "Unbelief sees the obstacles, but faith sees the opportunities." We can get discouraged when things are not moving in the direction that we thought they would, or we can trust in God and let him show us the opportunities that we have through our ministry. I think of our ministry of Kindness Works, originally started by Pastor James Bramblett. Now, we have continued this ministry, and we have seen different ways that it can be used to encourage and help others. Prayer Works, still in its infant stage, and yet continues to be used for opportunities to pray with others and encourage others. We have the Faith Race. As it continues to expand, we have been using it to reach outside of CBC to encourage and help other believers. And each year in the Faith Race, God has directed us with a specific theme, and this year being evangelism. We are affixing God's word to our hearts and learning ways to give the gospel so that we can be ready to use every opportunity to reach others for Christ. Now, we will have many opportunities to share the gospel with others this year as we have ideas on increasing our Kindness Works and Prayer Works events and to help more people. We also have opportunities to share the gospel with our Back to Church campaign and through many activity events that we offer throughout the year. Now, each one of these events are opportunities for us to invite someone in and to help them see Christ. Plus Operation Christmas Child. And we have some new opportunities coming up this year to be able to reach people for the Lord during this event and then also through our CBC Candlelight Service. Things are going to change a little bit this year. We're going to talk about this later, but things are going to change a little bit this year coming around the end of October, November through December. We're going to see some things that are different. Now, when I think of the believers in Philadelphia, they persevered. They didn't give up. They found a way. They were overcomers. And that is what I believe God is leading us to follow by example. We need to find a way to accomplish his goals, and we need to hold fast to continue the work of our ministry and not give up. Now, God has given us all of the tools to do this. He continues to provide for all of our needs, as we saw from the pictures already, and he makes sure that we have the right things that we need moving forward. Now, we still see some areas of work if you're walking through our church and we're like, you know, have you guys thought about this? Yes. We still see some areas that need work, areas that we need to address, areas such as our front yard. This is an obstacle that we continue to face in as we're trying to bring people through the front doors, and there's either weeds taking over the lawn or everything's dead, and it just looks like, you know, it's hard to bring people through and say, we're alive in the church when everything on the outside looks dead. I'm just saying. So, also our fellowship hall area, which has been a collection place for everything else while we have been getting all of our repairs finished, and then finishing the work that was started this last year. Now, our goal this year is to get it done, to find that way to be finished so that we can be used to the fullest potential in our ministry. Now, when God opens doors, He opens them. And he opens them so that we will move forward and do the work of his ministry. And when he closes those doors, it doesn't mean to stop. It means to hold fast. Do what you know to be right. Keep moving forward. Prepare for that next open door. And many times in life, when God closes the door, we're like, well, the door's closed. I might as well just lay down on the couch and find something to binge watch and just spend my life, you know, waiting for that next open door, because, you know, whenever it's going to come. But that's not what God says at all. Here Jesus is telling them, listen, if I close your door, hold fast. Be an overcomer. Now, as a church, we have been holding fast. We've been doing the work of the ministry and still working and preparing for what is next. We still have some preparation to go, but we can see the Lord continuing to guide us to what he has next. And the door is open for Campbell Baptist Church to continue to minister in the community. God has not closed that door yet. God wants us to push forward and get it done, and that is exactly what we are going to do. Now, I'm excited about the incredible ways that God has continued to bless us and prepare the way for what is next. I've seen incredible blessings this last year. Even this last week that I'll tell you about later, of how God is preparing us and getting us ready for the next step. And seeing his wonderful hand of provision come through is just tremendous blessing. I hope that you are encouraged this morning as much as I am, and that you'll continue to pray for this ministry and use the opportunities to grow within it. We want to be a light to our community here at Campbell Baptist Church, but we also want to be a light to each and every one of us here in the family, so that we can encourage each other and build each other up. Because after all, we're all waiting for Jesus to return. We're all praying it happens today so that we don't have to go and turn on the news of discouragement on tomorrow. So we're all facing discouragement. We can all be encouraging each other about how God is leading us and growing us through his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the tremendous blessings that you've given to us this year. We thank you, Lord, that you continue to keep our doors open, and not only open the doors, but give us blessings within it. Lord, we thank you that we have seen your hand of provision over and over again. We thank you that you continue to open more doors in our ministry so that we can be used even more for you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we would not waste these things. Give us wisdom. Help us to persevere. Help us to be those who overcome. Help us to be these authentic Christians who are simply faithful to your word and want to love you more and to know you more. And through your word, to love others, to mentor them, to disciple them, to encourage them. I pray, Lord, that you would change our hearts. Help us to be more like you so that we can go out and be used more of you. I pray, Lord Jesus, I thank you for the church in Philadelphia. I thank you, Lord, for their tremendous blessings that they had, for their tremendous testimony that we can look at today and say, look how much we can be different. Look how much we can persevere. And I pray that we would be like the church in Philadelphia, that this small church that had little strength, that had little influence in the community, still had influence and still had strength through you. Lord, help us not to give up, but to persevere. We just thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to grow in your grace, to know you more, and to be encouraged through your word. I pray that as we're dismissed today, Lord, I pray that we would go out and tell the world about you, that we would encourage someone else today about you. Let us encourage others through your word on what you teach us. Let us move that forward into someone else's life. In your name I pray these things. Amen.